Atlanta Hawks eliminated. New Orleans Pelicans on the verge, but is Chris Paul working too hard in the series? And the dumbest playoff series continues between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Memphis Grizzlies. We're going to talk about why that's the case right now on the Locked On NBA podcast.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That's right, every day. And Wednesdays here is me, John Corrales, with Tony East right there filling in for Jake Madison because Jake is busy covering the New Orleans Pelicans. Very frustrating loss for him. If you're following him along on Twitter, it was like he expected it, but also didn't want it to happen and thought that this was a very winnable game. We'll talk about that coming up later. Tony covers Locked On Pacers. I cover Locked On Celtics. Tony's at T East NBA. I'm at John _ Corrales on Twitter. Tony, how are you feeling about tonight's night in the NBA playoffs?
One very serious playoff game where a team got eliminated. One totally unserious playoff game with insane, insane finishing. And then one very meh Chris Paul masterclass, Mikal Bridges masterclass over the Pelicans. It was a strange night, but all the games were fun. It's just that one really rough first quarter from the Pelicans ruined what could have been three really close, awesome games.
Yeah. Bridges, my God. We'll get to that later. That's going to be the third segment. We'll talk about Hawks and Miami in segment two. But let's start off with the dumbest Keystone Cops. Could have played Yakety Sax over like most of this this game here. Memphis Grizzlies 111-109 winners and taking a 3-2 series lead after a 37-24 fourth quarter. It was 92-79 with 9:37 left. And the reason I know that exact time, Tony, is because there's a picture circulating of Karl Anthony Towns with his finger planted right over his lips and nose. First of all, okay, let me ask you this question. Very important question. When you tell a person to shush, do you stop the finger right below the nose, or do you like go full Karl Anthony Towns? Because Carl's got that finger all the way up to like the middle of his eyebrow. He's like way up here. And I'm just like, I thought it was always like, shh, right over your lips. He's got that thing like way up top. And I don't know. That's the most important question of this podcast.
He could smell the upcoming defeat, and he was telling people to stop smelling and to be quiet at the same time. That's the theory I'm going for. I only cover my lips when I shush. What a game this was. This game, the Grizzlies were winning with 50 seconds to go in the first quarter, and then they were losing the entire rest of the game until there was 1 minute left. And they still won, and it was weird because the way this series has gone, and I know you know this, John, but the way this series has gone is just one team makes a crazy run, and then the other team makes a crazy run, then the other team makes a crazy run. It's so weirdly not playoff-like. Like, it's not right. as methodical or slow. It's just so fast, and 13-0 run, and then an 8-0 run, and then a 6-0. It's so fast that you never felt Minnesota was in control, even in that screenshot where they're up 13, and the Grizzlies haven't been scoring well for the whole second half. And finally, the Grizzlies figure it out. Brandon Clark has a masterful fourth quarter. John Morant hit some crazy shots. It was an unbelievable finish for the Grizzlies.
These are two young and stupid teams. And I mean, I hate to say it that way, but some of the plays that were made, especially down the stretch of this game, it just smacks of if you're looking at like a balance of emotion and basketball IQ, like you obviously wanted to skew towards basketball IQ with enough emotion to fuel like amazing plays. And so much of the series has been a whole bunch of emotion and very little basketball IQ. And the emotion gets people to do things like, part of the problem for the Minnesota Timberwolves has been that D'Angelo Russell is just taking on one-on-one ISO heavy type of, you know, going ISO heavy at times where it's like you don't have the right matchup. Karl Anthony Towns has like at one point down the stretch, Karl Anthony Towns had Ja Morant in a cross match, and D'Angelo Russell, the point guard, didn't even seek that out, didn't even say, wait a minute, I see the matchups here that are going on. Let's get this guy, this matchup nightmare, the ball, and against a matchup that, look, Ja is a small dude, and he's not huge, and Karl Anthony Towns could probably do something with that matchup. Instead, you have D'Lo going one-on-one, launching a contested kind of floater on the left side, and it misses. Those types of plays have been happening over and over and over again. And then I'll add this other one there, Anthony Edwards. After making that huge shot, you turn around on the defensive end on that last bucket by Ja Morant, and you know defensively, I know defensively, you know it, everybody listening knows it, just stay in front of Ja. That's the only thing you got to do. It's Ja, you, and the basket. That's how this is supposed to go. And it goes way over the top, gambles for a steal, and is way out of position. And Morant goes in a half court sideline out of bounds. Memphis gets a 2-on-1 at the basket. How is that possible? Because just no IQ going on during key moments in these games.
Yeah, the Russell shot was wild. Like they had that rebound with 24.6 seconds left, and they were tied. Or no, they were down one. They were down 106-107. So they could have like the last ish shot. And then he takes it up, and it's 5-on-4. And like you said, Towns is on the right wing being guarded by Ja Morant. Just throw it to Towns or just attack right then. It's 5-on-4. He did neither. He slowed down. By the time he slowed down, Dylan Brooks now is on Karl Anthony Towns. And then he's like, oh, whatever, I'll just go. Even though they could have waited till about 5 seconds left to shoot. And he smokes the 10-footer. Grizzlies get the ball back. Morant gets 2 free throws. It changed the whole game, even though Minnesota did tie it up on a insane. By the way, Chris Finch deserved a ton of credit for drawing up that out-of-bounds play that got Anthony Edwards a 3. Insane play by Ant, and then he just ruins it with, like you said, this moment of, and he even admitted it after the game. I actually thought this was a fascinating quote from him. Anthony Edwards said, yeah, I decided right when the play started, I'm going for the steal. That was stupid of me. I shouldn't have done that. And he's right. It was super dumb because Then Ja Morant's got this free lane to the rim. And so the last minute of this game where the Grizzlies have been down the whole game just becomes Ja Morant kicking ass and Minnesota doing absolutely nothing about it, because I put in my notes, Ja Morant hits a 3 with a minute to go, basically, a little over it, to give Memphis the lead for the first time in 30 minutes in this game, basically. And I put, wow, a Ja Morant moment. And that was like the third coolest thing he did by the time the night was over, between free throws and steals and hitting the game-winning layup with 1 second to go. So the Grizzlies the Timberwolves just could not do it at the end. They took tough mid-range shots. They weren't moving the ball as well as they were the rest of the game. You know, they only hit one shot from the 3:30 mark to about the minute mark in the game, and Ja Morant just killed them for it. It was a really interesting ending between two young teams where one really figured out how to close it out and one had no idea how to close it out, just like in game 4 in Minnesota.
This is the this is what you get when your star player on one side is a big and your star player on the other side is a point guard. You can give the ball to Ja gets the ball and he gets to make the play. And Karl Anthony Towns has to sit there and be like, I hope D'Lo gives me the ball. And that, and this is part of like that whole debate of, you know, when you have a big like that, like how do you build around him? And the concept of a score first point guard versus the pass first point guard and all of that. I mean, in today's NBA, every point guard is going to be able to score, but the recognition of where the matchup is and how to take advantage of it. So much easier for Memphis to just, after the game, Ja's like, he's asked, walk me through the last play. And he goes, get a bucket. Like, he gets to say that because he's Ja and you give him the ball and he gets to make a play. And yes, Edwards made a very dumb decision. But Ja has to still take advantage of it. And he still has to, you know, finish. And, you know, but he has the ball in his hands. Karl Anthony Towns isn't getting the ball. He's got to set the pick for the guy who has the ball and roll or pop so he can get the ball back. And if he's way off the ball on the right wing, then there's a good chance he's not going to get the ball. Even if he's waving his arms up and, you know, he's not going to get it because the ball's on the other side of the floor. So you have to, if you're Karl Anthony Towns, go get the ball from D'Lo in that situation and create some sort of play where you're getting the ball. Or, you know, the contrast is Ja's like, everybody's trying to get me the ball because I'm the one who distributes it anyway. So that's the difference. That's why I think Memphis, a small reason why, that Memphis gets their best player making plays down the stretch. And the Timberwolves, once again, have Karl Anthony Towns kind of doing nothing down the stretch. And that's a problem because he's the guy who should be doing things down the stretch.
Yeah, he was a lot of their offense tonight too. Like Ant and D'Lo were 12 for 30 in this game. And Ant was better than that. His stats don't tell his game story very well. He actually played some nosy defense as well. But the two guys Minnesota needs to be good, if Cat does not have the ball all the time, were not particularly efficient. They got good scoring and shot making from basically everybody else on their team that played. Like shot decent to well, right? But the two guys who have the ball all the time kind of didn't. So to your point of getting Carl the ball, pass Carl Anthony Towns the ball. He only shot 15 times. Like that's a good amount, but not in a playoff setting necessarily. Also on the Memphis side, let's give shout outs really quick. Desmond Bane is that dude, man. Like that's
he's good.
That's my first note from this game is just Desmond Bane is that dude. First of all, he's from Indiana, so of course all the gas I can. But he, no blip at all. Regular season playoffs, he ramps up his game. He's at that level. Good defender, great shooter, perfect compliment to John Morant. Excellent teammates. He was fantastic. 25 points. Crucial threes early in the game to set the tone for Memphis. He was their best performer until Morant closed it out. And another one, Brandon Clark, who's in the game as the four, and then Jaren Jackson fouls out in the middle or early in the fourth quarter. They move Brandon Clark to the five, and then I think he got every offensive rebound the rest of the game. Not really, but it felt like it. He finishes with 9 offensive rebounds. The whole Minnesota team had 6. That changed the game. Memphis, that's how they play. They like to have extra possessions. He got him a ton of them. And he was huge in the fourth quarter.
Rebounding was one of the main issues for Minnesota coming into the series. Their lack of their inability to rebound was one of the things that was going to kill them. And there it is. It kills them. I still don't know how this is going to go. Either team could have a 20-point lead in this next game in Minnesota. Nothing. And it mean nothing. And doesn't even matter when. It could be 20-point leads with 5 minutes to go. And I still am like, this means nothing. It means nothing. In this game, Memphis, Minnesota, who knows what's going to happen there. This is the type of series where somehow there'll be a game 8, and I don't know how they're going to pull it off, but hey, it's entertaining. It's not good, but it's entertaining. And we'll leave it at that.
Extremely entertaining.
Also not good. The Atlanta Hawks and their season is over. A very frustrating season for the Hawks is done. And we'll talk about that when we come back. But first, let's talk about Shady Rays, an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of those $200 sunglasses for a fraction of the price. So that means you get polarized lenses, well-constructed durable frames, premium, high-end finishes, and something you will not find anywhere else, which is Shady Rays' insane protection program. No matter how you lose your pair, and I have lost my pair in very creative ways, or if you break them, they'll send you a new pair no matter what, no matter what. And if you don't love them, give them a try. You can send them back. You pay nothing. It's as simple as that. And to make it even cooler, shopping at Shady Rays, when you shop there, 10 meals are donated to fight hunger in America. So when you shop at Shady Rays there, you're going to do some good while getting some good sunglasses. And then on top of that, how about this deal? Exclusively for Locked On listeners, with the promo code Locked On, go to ShadyRays.com, get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's code Locked On for their best deal of the season. Half off two or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses. They're backed by over 150,000 verified 5-star reviews. Thanks for making Locked On NBA your first listen every day. You can make your second listen the podcast of any one of these teams involved in the playoffs. So Locked On Timberwolves, Grizzlies, Hawks, Heat, Pelicans, and Suns. They're all going to have these games covered very completely. Local hosts, local experts, local insights. You might be following on the, you know, might be following on the national level, but only the local hosts on the Locked On Podcast Network can get you the types of insights that make you smarter as a fan. So let's get Tony back in here to talk about the Atlanta Hawks. Good night, Hawks, losing 97-94. Miami wins this series 4-1. And it felt like a runaway for a while, but credit Atlanta, they kept it close. But Trae Young struggled in this, and even without Kyle Lowry, even without Jimmy Butler, the Miami Heat get 23 points from Victor Oladipo, 20 and 11 from Bam Adebayo, and they move on. Trae Young, Tony, finishes the playoffs, these five games, with 22 made field goals and 30 turnovers.
I too pulled up Trae Young's stats to describe this series. It's jarring to look at his stats juxtaposed next to what he did last playoffs when the Hawks made the conference finals. Obviously, his shooting percentages are down. The turnovers and assist numbers are identical at 30, like you brought up, right? He was clearly smothered by the Heat. One jarring one to me, though, that made me go, wow, the Heat defense is insane, is he took less than 14 shots per game this playoffs. He took over 22 last year on their conference finals run. The Heat just said, and I'm a pretty big, like, if you have the best player in a series, you can do some damage in a series, right? And I think Trae's better than anybody on the Heat, even though Jimmy Butler in the playoffs is fantastic, Bam's awesome, right? I think Trae's better. And so I thought the Hawks could at least be a puncher. I didn't think they'd win, but they could be a puncher. The Heat's defense was unbelievable this series. I mean, they, no matter what, five guys out there, perfectly connected all over Trae, forced the ball out of his hands, make DeAndre Hunter, make Bogdan Bogdanovich, make Clint Capela beat you. And Hunter was great in this game, and Capela had his moments, and Bogdanovich had his moments. They did win a game, but they just smothered Trae. It was the best defense I've ever seen on Trae Young, and they sustained it over a whole series. And that's why it's over in five, and it could have been over in four if not for a ridiculous Trae Young shot earlier in the series. So credit to Trae for getting him that one game, but the Heat defense is the story of this one to me. I mean, they dominated on the defensive end all series long.
So this series to me is, I think, I'm going to go very old man. And if you're watching the show on YouTube, I'm sitting here, I've got my old kind of like coach basketball pullover thing on, a big gray beard. I'm very, very get off my lawn right now. I'm happy to see the Hawks eliminated in such dismissive fashion. And I'm happy to see them eliminated in the way that you just described, because it shows me two things at play. To start this season, the Atlanta Hawks openly admitted, we're bored with the regular season. And I was like, who the hell are you to be bored with the regular season? You haven't done a thing. It's not like you're like LeBron. LeBron gets to be bored with the regular season. Champions get to be bored with the regular season. You made one improbable run that you could sit there and pick apart and be like, hey, you kind of caught lightning in a bottle there. A couple of things kind of went your way. You don't get to be bored with the regular season when you're the Atlanta Hawks and young, you know, not Trae Young, but like young in age. You don't get to be bored with the process, because the whole thing is, you're supposed to build these habits from the beginning. Contrast that with the Miami Heat, who maybe could be bored with the regular season, with the types of players that they have, but they're never bored with the regular season. And we kind of joke around about Heat culture, but Heat culture, I think, is real. There's real stuff behind that. And the fact that Miami just comes in is like very businesslike. We're just going to smother you, like you said. We're just going to take our defense, and we're going to just take away your best player and say, go ahead, anybody else, if you want to give it a shot. And they didn't even have Bogdanovich in this game. Go ahead. Whoever else you think you can step up, go for it. And the Hawks were banged up. But I love the contrast between these two teams. I love that the Heat were so dismissive of the Hawks. And I'm not a Hawks hater at all. I actually like a lot of these players. I want this to be a lesson for them so they can take this with them and say, you know what? We didn't build a single good habit all season long. Next year, you have to pay attention when you come in and give training camp and give the regular season its proper respect and respect the game enough to put in the hard work. So when you come to the playoffs, you have things that you can lean on, and that when you hit some adversity, you can pivot and maybe pull out a series that you're not supposed to win.
Yeah, and not only did the Heat look, I'm with you that the Heat culture, like, I think it's more of a phrasing thing that gets it dunked on, because every player has said, like, yeah, it's real. And, like, I don't know what is or isn't. I don't play for the Heat, obviously. But they didn't have Jimmy or Kyle Lowry in this game. And they still won. Like, convincingly, the Hawks had a big fourth quarter and still couldn't come back because the Heat start Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, and Victor Oladipo as their backcourt and can win a game. Like, that is something to me. That is some
sort of closeout game.
A closeout game. Right. And Vic deserves a lot of credit. I covered Vic for a while, so I shouldn't
say
his name so shortly. But Oladipo deserves a lot of credit for coming in. The first three games for the Heat, not even in the rotation. 0 minutes logged the first three games of the playoffs. They stressed. They played Duncan Robinson, Gabe Vincent. Lowry's playing in those games. Jimmy's playing awesome. They don't need him. And then Lowry gets hurt. Duncan Robinson's really cold. They aren't playing him as much. They play him a ton in Atlanta. Huge defensive performance in game four, plus 28 in a win. Then amazing as a starter in this game, 23 points, led the Heat in this game. Still played that solid defense. To come in cold and do that in the postseason, really impressive. And again, that's sort of where I see Heat culture having an impact on the series, is that they can just yank a guy cold off the bench and he can play good defense on Trae Young and be their leading scorer in a closeout game. So credit to Oladipo and the Heat for how they played all series. Bam Adebayo had an unbelievably good series. And I agree with you 100% on the Hawks, just not didn't take it seriously enough. And they got through the play-in barely, but outside of one miraculous win at home, they did not have a good showing this postseason at all.
You think Brooklyn Nets fans are looking at Victor Oladipo and Ben Simmons going, see, you could have done this. You could have come helped. In.
Can I tell you a moment I put in this game in my notes that summed up this series perfectly? The Hawks are down 9 with 2:45 to go, but it was a lot closer than that. They had cut it from 15-9, spirited comeback. And DeAndre Hunter is cooking. He scored a bunch. I think he scored 18 points the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he had a big game. He did have a big game.
He was awesome. So they were doing really well with this group they had in. They had a chance to cut it to 6, and Trae Young, wide open, three-pointer from the corner, side of the backboard. Doesn't hit anything. Yeah. Heat take it the other way, and I thought, that's how I'll remember this series, is every time the Hawks looked like they had a little bit of life, Trae Young just wasn't Trae Young, and the Heat deserve a ton of credit for taking him out of his game.
Trae, 11 points. I didn't even give the numbers. 11 points, 2 of 12 shooting, 0 of 5 from 3. He hit 7 free throws, but like, 11 points in a closeout game from Trae in 41 and a half minutes. You know,
are we fired for not saying the Hawks had a possession to tie it with 5 seconds left and
couldn't get a shot off?
Yeah, they threw it into Gallinari in the corner and didn't even get a shot away. That was
quite, such a horrible play.
Yeah, that was not the way you want to see your season
end. They basically led him. Here's the double team. Basically, you're in the corner, so you're basically quadruple teamed, because on two sides of you, you're being guarded by the out of bounds lines, and the other sides, you get two players. You literally have nowhere to go, and he turns the ball over. So, just terrible. All right, not terrible, although a little bit. Pelicans and the Phoenix Suns. So the Pelicans were feisty; they just weren't great, and now they're on the verge of elimination, but I have an important question for you, Tony East, when we come back, when we play our weekly game of real or fake when it comes to Chris Paul. We'll do that after I talk to you about Built Bar, which is not fake. It's a very real, great protein bar that I cover the Celtics. I'm a beat writer. I cover the Celtics. So I traveled to Brooklyn. I had 5 days in Brooklyn. And I threw a couple of Built Bars in my bag because I knew going from airport to train to my hotel and all of that stuff, it was going to be tough to grab something decent to eat on the go. So Built Bar, which is low calorie, high protein, low sugar, low carb, is going to be a great product for me in that situation. I also, when I go to the gym, it's great because I can eat a Built Bar that's about 130 calories and it's not going to blow out my cardio. The 17 grams of protein or so that are in every Built Bar, that's going to help me feed my body when I'm lifting weights. So it's great. However you want to do it, meal replacement snack as part of a fitness regime, you can do that with a Built Bar. Go to built.com. You can see all of the different products, all of the different flavors. There's something literally for everybody, all tastes, all desires. It's all right there at built.com. You can use the promo code LOCKED15 every single time. So you can go and sample what you might think you like. Don't feel the pressure to like buy a ton with the promo code LOCKED15, because next time you go back, you can use it again. You're going to get 15% off every single order at built.com. All right, Tony, the capper on the night was the Phoenix Suns holding off the Pelicans 112-97. It was sort of close for the night. Like, and then, you know, I never thought that the Pelicans were going to win this game. I always thought that the Phoenix Suns were going to win this game. But they also could never, until the very end, really put the Pelicans away, because you had like Jose Alvarado just living in Chris Paul's shorts, and they were just pesky. They were pesky. But in the end, it's Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns, and no matter how long Devin Booker is out, when you have Chris Paul and when you have Mikal Bridges doing a very good Devin Booker impression, you're gonna win these games.
Yeah, the Pels got it to, I think, 7 with 4 minutes to go, and we're playing pretty good in the fourth quarter. And I kind of thought, okay, maybe, you know, Ingram's doing pretty well. They've been chipping at it for this whole fourth. And I think they won the fourth pretty substantially. Yeah, but they only gave up 23 in the fourth. They did lose the frame. Their offense really sputtered out. But their defense was looking pretty good. I thought, okay, maybe this will happen. But the Suns were just really in control. They never gave up the lead. Really good timely shooting from them in this game. And you nailed it. Mikal Bridges, story hero of the night. And I don't want to say I watch like a lot of Mikal Bridges. I'm on Eastern time and the Suns play on West. But I watch the Suns a lot because they're the best team in the league. And I've seen Mikal Bridges play well before, but I've never seen Mikal Bridges be this like spirited and passionate and animated during a game. Like, he was everywhere and jumping up and down and getting hype. And he was awesome on offense, 31 points, drilling all of his threes, driving to the basket, making plays, 4 blocks, though his defense was just as ridiculous. The best thing he did this game, even though he led the game in scoring, was make Brandon Ingram's life a living hell. Ingram was 7 of 19, shot 36.8%. It was a really, really awesome Mikal Bridges game, and the Suns kind of need it, right? They're 2-2 right now without Booker. They haven't, I wouldn't say they're struggling, but they're obviously tied at 2 with an 8 seed. They need a little boost to have a guy be a second star, and really, he was the best player in this game. To have the best player in this game come from the Suns and have it not be Chris Paul was huge for this Phoenix team.
Let's fold in our game, our weekly game, which we started doing here on the Wednesdays, the Locked On NBA, is real or fake. And so Chris Paul is being hounded. He got another 8-second call because Alvarado is
two, just, right? Two of them.
Two. Yeah. In his, Alvarado's just all up in his business, right? And so one thing that I saw, actually two things that we saw here. At the end of the first half, you have Chris Paul hand on knee at the end of the half, taking a second to catch his breath, camera right in his face, like everybody's like, oh my God, he's so tired. And then at the end of the game, in the fourth quarter, he's like, someone else bring this ball up, because I don't want to deal with Alvarado just living in my uniform. And so the real or fake question I want to ask you is, Chris Paul, real or fake, Chris Paul is working too hard in this first round series for him to be able to carry the Suns to a championship.
It's a good question. Tons of credit to the Pelicans for, first of all, forcing him to do this. Like, Monty Williams is like, I have to play Aaron Holiday and campaign both to give Chris Paul enough breather. Don't get me wrong. Aaron Holiday was fine. He only played like 3 minutes, you know, 6 minutes. He finished with 6 minutes. You know, it's not like a big deal, but that kind of tells it all to me, is that even with Booker out, they're going three point guards to get it. And campaign had foul trouble in this game too. But they need to rest him minutes, and he was gassed at halftime, like to the point that people were curious if he was like injured or sick or something. And so, yeah, I mean, I think he could be being overworked. He's super old, right? So, it's hard for him. True, fair. Yeah, you and Chris Paul have similar amounts of head hair, so I suppose you can relate to him a little bit more in this instance. He's older, especially on NBA age, so to ask him to do everything is obviously very taxing, and that's the first time. I've never seen Chris Paul be a guy to defer, but at the end of the game, he deferred. He said, no, Alvarado's pissed me off. I'm not doing this anymore, and he made other guys do it. So with Booker out, I think it's real that he is doing a lot, and almost too much, and they need him to do it to be really good and win. Now, can it be fine if they win their next game and then Booker comes back? Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe the other series in the West goes seven and, you know, the Jazz win their next game and the Suns get some extra rest or something. But, I mean, I would certainly be a little concerned as Phoenix that they have to play him almost 40 minutes in these games, especially with Alvarado doing what he's doing.
It's a lot. And I'm starting to lean that this is real. Because this is the opening round, and you know, look, you're going back to New Orleans, and there's no guarantee here. I still would favor the Phoenix Suns here, but also I've seen I love the phenomenon of the young, free, playing with nothing to lose team, because there is legitimately, when you have nothing to lose on a basketball court, it does elevate your game, because you can go and take these chances and you can just feel good about it. Like, miss a shot, doesn't matter. Go back and play defense. You're not caught up in the ebbs and flows and the runs. You're just like, all right, we'll get a stop next time. We'll just, doesn't matter. And if you give up a 10-0 run, doesn't matter. Like, you're supposed to give up a 10-0 run. So you're just constantly encouraging everybody, and you're not caught up in the mess of, oh God, all right, we gotta get a stop here, or something like the other side might feel. So I feel like a young, pesky team, specifically with an Alvarado on there, that just thrives in making other people's lives hell like that. That's the type of thing where I can see a scenario where the Suns have to go seven. And I remember last week when I was talking to Jake about it, I was like, you know, it doesn't matter if you go seven, as long as you beat them, and you know, you deal with it and you let Booker get healthy. And it might be better if you go seven because he's not missing second round games. But at the same time, I didn't take into account how much work Chris Paul was going to have to do. 39 minutes in this game, and sure, 22 points, 11 assists, 3 steals, 6 rebounds. That's good, but he was also 8 of 18, 0 of 4 from 3, not your typical closing stretch from Chris Paul. It only gets harder from here, and I'm afraid, you know, that there's going to be like some sort of Chris Paul injury or something. This is going to impact him somehow, and I just think the cumulative effect, this really puts the Suns at risk. Because if you don't have Chris Paul in a series or for a significant portion of the series, then things change much more significantly. So I'm going to say it's real. I think that he's working way, way, way too hard. And this is going to end up costing the Suns.
Yeah, I think he's being overworked right now. That said, here's what I'll say. For the next round especially, if they – I bet – The Suns are really hoping Utah wins, because the difference in being guarded by Brunson in a series and Mike Conley or even in Mitchell is huge, huge yeah. for him, right? In terms of the amount of work he has to do, especially if Booker comes back at that stage. So I think the Suns are big Jazz fans, especially on this front, to kind of ease in what he has to do. And the Jazz perimeter defense has been terrible in the first round so far. So that would be a way that would maybe kind of reel in and say, okay, you know, he'll be fine, or he won't have to do as much against a Jazz team that I think the Suns would tear up, versus if they played Dallas, I'd be like, okay, you know, that Mavs defense has been awesome in the playoffs and all season. That might be a little harder for him. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, he has the worst teammate injury luck of anyone in the NBA, but it would be really unfortunate if on maybe his last serious chance at a title. Who knows how good the Suns will be next year, but maybe if he himself got hurt because of Jose Alvarado overworking him in the first round.
My God. I guess we should give a shout out to sorry, Jonas Valanciunas.
Yes.
For a 17-point, 14-rebound, 3-assist game. He was really great in this one and kept the Pelicans alive here. So don't wanna sell him short here. But if I sound dismissive of the Pelicans, it's not that I don't think that they can make this a tough series. I just said I think this could go seven. However, I still feel like the Suns can pull this through. I just feel like the cumulative effect is going to be very, very damaging. So, like I said before, you can listen to Locked On Pelicans. Our boy Jake, who's normally here, is probably just wrapping up recording his post-game podcast. Plenty more insight there. Same with all of the other teams, including Locked On Hawks, who was eliminated, moving on to their postseason stuff. Tony East, who's already in his postseason stuff.
I'm in draft mode.
Neither of our teams have any further games scheduled in the first round of the playoffs.
That's right. We lost as many games as you guys did in the first round. So
That's right. All right. So thanks to Tony for pinch hitting. As always, our sixth man on Locked On NBA coming in. Sixth man of the year for sure. So follow him on Tony at Tony. Let me try this again. At T East NBA. I'm at John_Corrales. Thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen every day and part of your daily routine. Make sure you're following on the wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on YouTube. You can watch us on YouTube, and you can see all the hand gestures that we're making that we don't reference on the audio podcast. Sorry. And, of course, share the podcast. Tell your friends. Tell everybody they should be listening to and watching the Locked On NBA podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.